Thank you very much, and I am humbled really to have been invited here to present a lecture on I believe I will be able to share some interesting insights on the role of the human resources in both the African continent and in particular in the Lesotho HIV/AIDS crisis. Before I begin, please allow me to acknowledge the organizers of this conference who have graciously invited me twice to be here, and I'm happy that I'm today here. And I'm also glad to also honor the man in his name this lecture is being Father Michael Kelly. I'm humbled to be in your presence, and I'm honored to be giving this lecture. I recognize you, excellencies, who are in this room, professors who are here, distinguished ladies and gentlemen. To speak a little bit about Father Michael Kelly, the biography of the man speaks for itself. His work on the negative impact of HIV and AIDS on education and the role that education can have in combating the spread of the virus has been on the forefront of the field and has helped guide policy around the world. There is not ample time and adequate list to talk about Dr. Michael Kelly and his work. So I think you will understand if I say that today I should stop right there, because the man is here, he'll be talking. This evening we'll be discussing the strengthening of human resources capacity to deal with the HIV/AIDS virus. It is a topic that is not only of interest, but is also of extreme importance in the provision of health care in my country, and I believe elsewhere in Africa. But this evening I'd like to begin with a story. And this story is as a result of the work that the government of Lesotho, CHAI, Partners in Health, have done in the mountain clinics of Lesotho. A couple of years back, I was invited to come and open a clinic in Nohana district. And as I arrived, I was rather amazed to find that on a small airfield, there were people already waiting for me. And I was rather humbled that the villagers thought I was important enough to be actually met from the field. But there's one particular man who wanted to talk to me, and you know, everybody made way for this man, and he said, "You know what, I want to talk to you, and I wanted to meet you, first. You have made my life a misery." And you know, I was sort of startled. I stood back, and the man said, "You know what, a few years back, I thought I was up on my way to owning a Mercedes-Benz that I'm eyeing. The man is an undertaker." So I said, "So what happened?" He says, "Then, you know, I was planning minimum of 5 funerals a weekend. I was rich. I could see that I was going to be one of the richest people in this particular area. But there you were with this Irish Aid, Partners in Health, and everybody. You came into this place, and now, if I'm lucky, only one person dies a month." So I think that story was also not only told to me, but it was also told to Paul Farmer, told to the Prime Minister by the same person. He actually closed the undertaking business in that particular area, and he's now organizers of birthdays and marriages. So that tells you that some of the work that we've done has really not gone unnoticed. It has gone noticed. We've done great work together as partnerships with our partners on the ground, with governments. And this story can be told in Zambia, in Kenya, in South Africa, and everywhere. Because undertakers, we even had people clubbing together in South Africa, and this has taken root in the rest of Africa, where you have clubs where people, it's called mbata shedding in Sesotho, and it's like where you put money, little small amounts of money together to be able to have a funeral, should you have somebody die, then everybody will draw from that fund. But no one has a fund for the women who are coming to deliver or young mothers. But the fund for people who are dying is big business in the entire Southern Africa, whether it is Botswana, Namibia, Lesotho, Swaziland, we have the same thing. So now, I think what I should do is to start, it would be helpful to begin focusing on the human resources for health situation in sub-Saharan Africa, to highlight the crisis that we are facing. For that, I will move to an explanation on the Lesotho country context, highlighting some of the major human resources for health gaps that have faced and steps that we are taking to address these gaps. And lastly, I would like to move on to forward to planning for the future. And I'll be very quick in doing this. I realize everybody has had a very long day. According to the World Health Organization, a country needs a minimum of 2.5 health professionals to look after 1,000 people. And this is in order to achieve the health-related Millennium Development Goals, and that's the bare minimum. These are the minimum numbers required to achieve this, the threshold, not the ideal for any country. As you can see, we in the developing world are a long way away from our targets. In sub-Saharan Africa, we have approximately half the healthcare workers that we require. In contrast, here in Europe, there are over 8 times as many health workers per 1,000 people. And we remember what we heard this morning from Professor Ellis, that 55% of your health workers in the public sector are actually coming from our countries. We are not only far from achieving our target ratios, we also have an extra sense of urgency. Sub-Saharan Africa bears disproportionate percentage of disease burden relative to its workforce. Africa has almost a quarter of the world's disease burden, yet only 3% of the world's healthcare workers. And this is why perhaps it is important for this forum to be discussing this. The inequity in distribution of healthcare workers is due to a number of factors. There are very few training institutions in sub-Saharan Africa, and those that we do have are unable to train enough pharmacists, nurses, doctors, and are unable to train enough health sector-related workers as a whole. And coupled with this, we don't have enough health posts in most of our public service. And even a few countries that have done very well and have enough health workers are unable to absorb them. This is why it is so difficult for us to actually address the problems that we are facing. Retention of health workers in our region is a struggle. We call it brain drain of health workers, where once they are educated, they move on to greener pastures to seek better employment. Many of the factors that affect human resources for health in Africa as a region are true in my own country. For those of you who may not know, the Kingdom of Lesotho is South Africa locked. That's what we normally say, because it's landlocked only by one country. While geographically Lesotho is small, the nature of our mountainous terrain can turn what appears to be a very short journey into many hours of walk on horse ride. As you know, Lesotho is very famous for having everyone ride horses there, so even I know how to do that. We have a beautiful scenario, high mountains and big plateaus, but sometimes the scenery can make it very difficult in the provision of primary health care to those who may need it the most. Some of our roads that go through the mountains, and by the way, talking of roads, we have had a lot of people telling us that we should not build tar roads through the mountains of Lesotho because we are destroying beautiful scenery. So you can imagine, we are dealing with environmentalists who are looking for other things, people who are looking for tourism, But what we are mainly trying to do is to provide healthcare service to the very poor people of Lesotho. And in the winter months, because of snow, most of the roads are impassable, or the mountains are impossible, And that makes most of the mountain areas and mountain clinics inaccessible by road. And many of the clinics in the mountain areas are run by the Flying Doctor Service. And this is the very program that was supported by the Irish Aid and the CHAI, as well as Partners in Health. And I'll be referring to it, and we call it the Rural Initiative. Lesotho has been hit especially hard by the HIV and AIDS pandemic. To date, the prevalence of HIV and AIDS in Lesotho is 23.1%. This is a generalized epidemic, which affects most of the people in the country. But the good news is that now the prevalence has stabilized, and incidence, especially in the young, in the 15 to 23, has come down slightly. Antiretroviral therapy coverage is increasing. Many people from whom a positive diagnosis would have been death sentence a few years ago now have access to life-saving antiretroviral treatment. I believe that we are turning a point in our fight against the disease, a fight that we can now surely say we will win. And our success in turning the tide of this epidemic is related to the progressive nature of our health system. We have quite a critical shortage of doctors in Lesotho. We have educated thousands of doctors, but to date, only 45 Basotho doctors remain in the countries. But we do have a few people coming from Namibia, Zimbabwe, Kenya, and Tanzania who are working in the country. The retention has become a real problem because we've been training our doctors right here in Ireland, in England, in South Africa, and they remain exactly where they were trained or move elsewhere in the developed world. In 2005, and I'm glad because I'm one of the people who was behind this decision, we made a very good decision to allow nurses to initiate patients on antiretroviral therapy. At this point, the cost of antiretroviral treatment drugs was also coming down. So that meant the Lesotho government could actually purchase the drugs and roll them out. We were, I believe, among the first countries in the world to adopt this policy, and we were not without critics. Many felt that the regimes of antiretroviral treatment were very complex, and that nurses would not adequately monitor the side effects, and a lot of people felt it was necessary to leave doctors who were relatively, most of them were in the cities and in the hospitals. But we had a very long debate. We referred to this morning about whether we are the people who hinder progress are not the doctors and nurses. And the debate was, and you know, people who participated were both nurses and doctors. Some nurses felt that they were not adequately equipped to be able to roll out treatment. Doctors certainly felt that nurses were not the right people to do this. And I'm glad that we finally won the war, because it was a mini war, and doctors relented because they were not willing and did not have the right numbers to move to the clinics. And nurses and nursing associations also realized that quite a number of people were going to be saved. In Lesotho, nurses are the backbone of the health department's health sector, and many people in Lesotho will spend the rest of their lives without actually seeing a doctor or moving to the hospital because they are being looked after at the clinic. After making this progressive decision, then we realized that we actually did not have enough nurses to do the work, and those who were in the country were not adequately equipped to provide treatment. So what then happened was we entered into an agreement with the Irish Aid, CHAI, and CHAI also talk to partners in health to assist. So we realized that Kenya had a lot of nurses who were trained, but they could not be absorbed into the public sector. And most of these nurses were HIV/AIDS competent. So what we then did was we working together as a team, both the Irish Aid, the government of Lesotho, the government of Kenya, we entered into an agreement where we signed an agreement, government-to-government agreement, and had 150 nurses to come to Lesotho and work side by side with Basotho nurses to provide treatment and care. This agreement worked very well, and to date, Lesotho has increased by 100% the number of positions of nurses in the public sector. After 3 years, the nurses from Kenya, some of them have gone back, those who wanted to stay have remained, but the number of positions in the establishment list of nurses has been increased. Not only that, the agreement also allowed for the government of Lesotho to increase the number of nurses trained in the institutions by 100%. So today, we can safely tell our colleagues and our counterparts in Europe that it is not impossible to sign an agreement, but you must really pay back for some of the people that we train if you want to help them. I must closely examine who the 55% doctors are in the Irish public sector hospitals, and then we should start talking. With the Irish Aid support, we were also able to establish clinical mentoring program. You can imagine, once you make a decision, you're going to offer people antiretroviral treatment. The nurses and the doctors are not quite competent in giving this treatment, especially the ones who were trained during my time. There was no HIV and AIDS. And laboratory was not ready. So we had clinical mentoring for both nurses and doctors. We were working together with the Canadian government, the US government also to assist in that program, and the Irish government was paying for it. We did such a good job that in the end we have a pool of our own nurses and doctors who are now mentors and who are working to mentor other nurses and doctors as they get to the field. Together with that, we also started laboratory mentoring. Not only we worked very hard again, the Clinton Access Initiative was able to support our laboratory system with that mentoring program. And to date, we have enrolled every laboratory technician in the country in that particular program. They have been part of it. It has been such a success that Lesotho is now the first country in Africa to begin a stepwise accreditation program for laboratories. We also wanted to ensure that our nurses and doctors and hospitals and health centers have the drugs they needed. So we required a huge scale-up of distribution system, going from distribution of ARVs in 18 hospitals to 200 health centers and hospitals in a very, very short time, in 18 months. And we have also improved reporting, quantification. Somebody talked about using technology. We are using technology. And we are using most of these clinics today as we speak, have been wired for internet and as well as all the hospitals. It is a program again, but it's not only the Irish government that assisted on that program. Everyone came to see what the rural initiative was looking like, because these clinics are inaccessible. To get there, you have to go there by using a small plane or a helicopter. But we did such a good job that I think they are model clinics for anybody who would like to have a look at what a rural clinic or rural mini hospital looks like. What we have achieved with has encouraged some partners to come forward and offer to improve the rest of the country. So we applied for the Millennium Challenge account from the United States, and it is the first health compact that was signed with the Millennium Challenge account. And what they did is they just copied what they saw at the Rural Initiative Clinics, and today we are renovating. The Soto is a big, construction site as we speak. We are renovating 250 clinics and hospitals and outpatients, and so we are hopefully going to incorporate all the technology that is needed to be technically savvy. So the program comprised of the following: nursing initiative, mentoring, access to medication, rural initiative, and I must add, we also had the village health worker program that I've not covered on the slides. This program I was quite interested in it because I sneaked it in as we were negotiating, and I said, you know what, I think all these women, and especially women, they were mostly women who have been volunteering their services for many years, are working so hard that we need to now start giving them incentives, because really they have no time to do work for their families. And I remember I was talking to the Irish AIDS, one of the parliamentarians who had come to Lesotho, and he said, well, is your country prepared to change? So what then happened was we negotiated with the then Minister of Health, and he immediately said, of course, we will change our policy, we will start paying the community health workers. And because of this program, a lot of policies have changed in Lesotho. And I want to applaud the Irish AIDS for having stuck to their guns to make sure that the programs that we are giving are not only sustainable, but they are not only accessible to the people, they are sustainable, and they can also be copied throughout the whole country. We are still a long way from achieving what we need to, from achieving what we have done, but I'm very proud of the progress that we have made together. You can imagine if to date, most of, we are training from Ethiopia, Uganda, down to South Africa, some of the people in our laboratory, to see what a modern laboratory looks like, especially in the MDR-TB. We have done so well because of the work that we did together, and the incentives that we are giving our nurses. We started with the Irish Aid, and the government of Lesotho has just moved on to adopt all those incentives. Have shown that it is not only possible to copy good things, but if you have the right program and you are supporting the right policies, most governments will change. We are working together very closely with the Minister of Finance and the Minister of Public Service. Whatever agreement we have signed, they also sign separate agreements with our partners. Like I mentioned, the nursing and midwifery education has changed dramatically from what it was in 2005. Today, we have done most of the things that we really thought we should do. We are improving the clinics. We are training more people than we have ever trained in our lives. We have even started the medical school in the most innovative way that we could have done. We have agreement with the University of Zimbabwe, and they train our students for 3 years. And because we have a state-of-the-art referral hospital that we've just completed, then they come back for the remaining 3 years to complete their training. Lesotho is a poor country, so we do anything and everything that is possible to show that we are doing the right thing. The slide that you see before you, it shows you how we are doing with ARVs since the end of 2007 up to the end of the third quarter of last year. As you can see, the increase is dramatic, and this is due to the fact that we were able to use nurses to do most of the work, and we have had several evaluations of the work that have been done by these nurses, and I can assure you the nurses are just as good as doctors are in doing the work. After all, people would have died, but today they are alive, And I can assure you, and I'm looking at you because I know that you have been a big advocate of the nurses being given more responsibility but giving proper support. We are doing just that. I want to thank you again for the opportunity to speak to you and share our experience in Lesotho. I want to thank the Irish people. I want to thank the Irish government. I want to thank the Irish aid. The support that you have given us has not gone unnoticed. I want your taxpayers to be fully aware that the work that you have done in my country, and I know the work that you have done in Lesotho is very similar to the work that you have done in Mozambique and elsewhere, has been worth the while. Speaking about the Global Fund briefly, as the Vice Chair of the Global Fund, Global Fund is undergoing tremendous changes. And I can assure people sitting in this room that we are drawing most of our changes, most of our, from the examples that of, we are drawing from the work that was done by the Irish Aid. We are drawing examples from good policies that the Irish Aid has actually left in most of the countries, because we have seen that setting shop in one country and providing ARVs, then closing shop and going, causes many, many problems for the people of that particular country. We have seen this, and I don't want to mention the donors, but all I know is that the Irish Aid works within the system, works with governments, supports the national strategy of a particular government. So in doing this, you have shown the world. You have charted your way, and you were perhaps the first to support human resources for health. And I don't know whether you know this, but in doing so, you have informed the policy of the Global Fund, informed the policy, even the policy of the World Bank. You have informed it. We applaud you, and we will continue to come. We'll come here and come and learn more from the Irish aid and the Irish government, how to do things better, especially in the Global Fund. Thank you very much.